shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed happy to be in the house of the Lord, the place that you have provided for us. We thank you for it, O God, and pray that it shall indeed be a place where we truly worship you in spirit and in truth, especially by your revealed word, O God, knowing that our words are not spirit and life. Our words will not accomplish anything unless our word is one with your word, you having put it in our hearts and our mouths, O God, which we trust that this time has indeed happened, and we are growing up in that word, word by word, Lord, life by measuring the Holy Spirit by that word, until the complete life is restored to us at this point where we become immortal children of God. We ask you to help us in our studies, Lord, such studies as are corrective and good for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to continue dealing with some of the subjects that we have been dealing with in questions and answers in order to clarify what we have been looking at, especially beginning with the coming and appearing, which has a great deal to do with the presence or parousia as we know it today from our studies, according to what we believe Brother Branham has taught us. Now, the other day, Brother Brian Kasurik told me he had gone through his computer and literally went through hundreds of sermons, or how many number he has, and I suppose they're by the hundred in the computer, whereby he looked up the various words such as presence, he is here, coming, and reveal, and manifest, and all these words which we use and have been using since 1977, beginning about the time of March. And he came up with what is a phenomenal count of literally into the thousands, where one word alone was found 1,300 and some times, another 800 times. Now, I'm going to disabuse your minds right now so you'll understand that every one of those words that he found will not be purely indicative of what we are talking about. But there are enough in there of that number of times that Brother Branham used the word, he is here, he is present, and his presence and coming and manifestation and revelation and so on, that actually point to what we are discussing and what we believe, so that it merely augments what we are teaching and clarifies and giving strong substance and support to what we are talking about. Now, Brother Branham made a statement, and he said, coming and appearing are two different words. Now, you must realize when he used that phrase or used that statement, coming and appearing, are two different words. He was not merely speaking in terms of a theological disposition so that we can say, all right, we're going to look in the Bible, we're going to make this a point of theology, and we're going to argue about it. Believe me, the man was speaking, first of all, as an ordinary citizen with an ordinary vocabulary who knew positively that the word coming was not the word appearing. In other words, when he used the word coming, he was not thinking appearing and believing appearing and saying appearing. And when he said appearing, he was not thinking coming and saying and believing coming. He knew that they were absolutely two different words. And they are two different words. So we're going to look at those two words from the viewpoint of what those words actually are by dictionary definition, which Brother Branham many times went to his dictionary. All right, now the word to come, which of course will include coming, which is the gerund. Okay, to come, the verb. To move or advance, go forward from a place that is thought of as there, over there, to or into a place or location thought of as here, right? To come. So you're coming my way. So if you're coming my way, you're moving from one location to this location, which is up here at the pulpit. You understand? All right. The word go would be exactly the same, but it's in reverse. And you will find that to be actually in the Greek, where you find it is mentioned, behold the bridegroom, and it says go out to meet him. And that is ridiculous. It is come out to meet him, though the words are the same, because now we go into theological dissertation there, an understanding of Scripture, which will just let it drop. But you can understand what we are talking about. We're talking about moving objects from one location to another, and the word come signifies that something is going to move from one location to this location, which we call here. So the word coming then is approaching or progressing to the point of destination or from there to here. He is coming from there to here. You understand? You say, hey, that's just simple. Is it? And how come people are so confused? Remember Brother Branham said when they smarted off at him, he said, yes, I've only got a seventh grade education, but you better believe I knew what was in them books. In other words, don't smart off with this guy here. You're not dealing with some dummy. You're not dealing with an idiot. You're dealing with a prophet of God with the incisive understanding of God himself. No. Well, that's case or all, that's it. Coming, approaching, progressing to a point of destination. Therefore, anything that is moving from one location or spot to a second location or spot that is designated as the destination by anything or anybody occupying the second spot is called that someone or something coming. If you are using the term coming, and yet the moving object, now listen, if you use the term coming, and yet the moving object bypasses the location of the subject, you are erroneous in your terminology. The object is not coming to you, it is only moving in a direction that carelessly could be called coming in the sense of coming toward, but not coming to. In other words, there's a vicinity, you've got a latitude there. So we're talking in terms of the absolute definitive. Coming toward, but not coming to, for the object did not come to the subject, merely near it, or what else? So, all right, we're looking at the term coming and come. You come to me, it comes to me, he comes to me, she comes. We're looking at two, at a movement of an object or a person from there to here. It is evident that the word coming is not a word whose terminology would be defined as a word that can be used loosely. Come means that the destination is attained and the presence of the object is before the subject. Both are there and together. If someone or something has come to someone or something else, they are present one to the other. Both are here. If someone is coming to me, we have to meet. It is strange but true that many people meet. They come together even face to face and yet are unaware of the meeting in the sense that that's what it is all about. Now listen carefully and understand what I'm saying. Like ships passing in the dark. There is no recognition. Recognition is therefore not the criterion of coming or having come. Never forget, coming implies movement and necessitates a meeting at the same place. Two things being present at the same place. Further consider the sentence, his coming made me rejoice. Now let us consider the fact that this person has just completed a journey which was fraught with danger. The comer has escaped death but not injury, starvation but not famine. So no one rejoiced over the events of the journey, but the fact that he got there where they met face to face or faced each other. You understand that what we're saying? We're narrowing this right down to an on-the-spot confrontation. Okay, we're using this on the basis of correct English and also the Scripture. It is seen that coming is literally starting out from there and getting here. It is whatever was once there is now here. Two people are objects present one to the other. Whoever or whatever transverse the distance means the journey is complete as per that one particular episode. As the requirements, whatever there. It came, it moved, it arrived, it is here, it is presently present. Now that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with the fact of come. Come and coming. So when he says, his coming gave me a great bit of joy. It was the fact that he got here. Not how he got there, when he got there, the deprivations, the pleasures, those things mean nothing. If he wandered around the country like a cow, loosed on a mountain path, taking the way of least resistance, and finally getting there after several decades, that is not the point. The point in what we are looking at here is the actuality of that thing which was once there is now here. Okay. And remember, it doesn't even depend upon a recognition. It's like the story I told you different times here. My mother told of a family from Europe, but the man came over here and and he made quite a lot of money. And his family knew that he should be sending some of the goodwill back to the old country. But the boy knew that if he sent it back and the wrong people got it, which could be the post office and anybody else like over here, you know, people are crooked everywhere, let's face it. He put it in a picture. It was so beautifully sealed in, his parents got the picture and they said, oh, is this all he can do is send me a picture? They threw it in the fire. There went the money. Parents, be nice about your kids. Lee Dale talking to himself. Don't even have to recognize the actuality. Now let's look at the word appear. They are two different words. They certainly are. To appear does not suggest any type of a journey. It does not suggest any type of a motion of coming or of leaving whatsoever. It simply means to come forth, which means in turn to be visible. So we could use the word, first of all, visible. The reason we use the word come forth is because it actually is a truer consensus, a truer understanding. Now, there are four little definitions we're going to give you. Number one, to come into sight. That's to appear. Because it just wasn't uncovered. It was hidden. See? Something like that. Also, it means to be in sight. It already was there, open for viewing. Now, there are two more meanings that I'm going to group together. Three is to come before the public. Four, to present oneself formally in court as an attorney or a plaintiff or so-and-so. Understand we're saying that. I like to put two together. To come into sight, to be in sight. Can either be in sight or come into. That's to appear. It also means to come before the public. To appear. In other words, you've got something in mind. You're doing it. You appear in court. You appear so-and-so and such-and-such. Now, it is very evident from this definition of appear that one, number one, the word manifest is closely related to the word appear, because manifest means to make apparent, which means to appear to the senses, especially light. In other words, to see. So when you look at the word appear, comes into sight, You look at the word manifest, means to show. And it's clearly related because mostly it has to do with the eye rather than closing the eye and say, well, this seems to me, and you could use that in the sense seems, and when you use the word seem, you start with S-double-E, right? See. Now you're changing from actual sight to another sense and using it seems to me to be an apple. So why is it not a pear? Because it doesn't have that shape. Why is it not a peach? It doesn't have fuzz. It could be nectarine. No, it's too big. So, well, it could be a small apple. You got me there, but there's a different feeling. See? You see? So, that's manifest. The word manifest, then, is closely related to the word appear because it is something that it comes to light. The next word is reveal. That's very closely related to the word appear. Because the word reveal means to expose to view. Now notice, come into sight to be in sight. To come into view to be in sight. So the word expose means to view. Now we're looking at the reveal, it means to expose to view. Which means that at this particular point we are using verbs. Manifest is a verb and reveal is a manifest. Now, is a verb. Now, reveal, to expose to view, means to show, to exhibit, to display, to tell, to unveil. The word reveal means to unveil. Now, there's a third word that we consider, and that is the word presence. Present, because we're talking about everything that is present. From there to here is present. Appear is present. Unless I'm using a historical fact, it appeared over yonder. We are talking of now conditions. So the word appear, manifest, reveal. The word we look at is presence. Now this word is recognized by virtue of the words coming and appear. For if one came, then he is present. And if he is present, it is only because he is manifested to be so, or we would not know that he's come and that he's present. Okay? On the other hand, he could have come at night and therefore be invisible until he revealed himself to be here, as opposed to being somewhere else, having not yet arrived. You understand what I said? All right, it's all on tape, but I'll read it again. Now, this word is recognized, the word presence. Comes from the word present. This word is recognized by virtue of the words coming and appear. For if one came, then he is present. And if he is present, it is only because he is manifested to be so, or we would not know. That is for sure. Because the ships could pass in the dark, and somebody could come, and your description is so faulty that you'd miss him a million miles or two. Something like the IRS, isn't it, getting down your neck? You should have known the law. I can't go by your conscience and your faith. Right? So, okay, you get what I'm driving at. Because this is a sermon, you know, and we're involved in theology just the same. All right, now the word presence is recognized by virtue of the words coming and appear. For if one came, then he is present. And if he is present, it is only because he is manifested to be so, or we would not know that he is present. Now we're talking about an actual acknowledgement here. On the other hand, he could have come at night and therefore be invisible until he revealed himself as to being here, as to being opposed to being elsewhere, not yet having arrived. Now, the fact of the matter is that the word presence does not involve the process or event of the person or thing that got here But the actual fact that it is here, though let's face it, if the distance had not been traversed, the event had not taken place from there to here, he would not be here and therefore would not be present. But the word presence, as I mentioned a while ago, we talked about coming, the man was not killed but injured. He did not starve, but he was in a condition of malnutrition when he got there. And the rejoicing was not in the fact that the fellow went and took his lumps. Lay in the fact, hey, I'm sure glad to see you. I'm sorry what happened. But that does not diminish my joy of you being here. See? So now the fact of the matter is that the word presence does not involve the process or event of how the person or thing got there, but the actual fact that it is there. Presence, therefore, means the fact, condition, or quality of being present. That's presence. Fact, condition, or quality of being present. Present. Being at the specified or understood place. In attendance as opposed to being absent. That's 100% correct. It's just like come, go. Here, absent. Not there, here, present. Therefore, not absent. Now then, let us just look at what we have said. We have been speaking of reality. Number one, we are speaking of reality. As Brother Branham said, this is not something mythical. Many times he said, this is not a Houdini. So Brother Branham was very correct in bringing us to the reality. And there is only one reality. I am the reality. I am the way, the reality, and the life. I am the way. I am the one that produced the reality which is now found in Zoe. The argument is he here? Is the doctrine of the Parousia the doctrine of the second coming? Hogwash. A man came all the way from Tucson to see me. He said, Lee, out there they're saying you believe the resurrection's over. Are you preaching? I said, you see me here, don't you? It ain't over. Anybody can say anything he wants. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I am before the white throne, and I am responsible for what I'm saying. And if I were to go back on one word that I have taught in his presence and my understanding, I would die. I would no longer be a companion to Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Bale, you don't believe in predestination. I certainly do. But I'm going to tell you, predestination and all these things we talk about have their earmarks. As the earmark of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is this evidence. You believe the given word, the revealed word for this hour. So it is that you must continue in that faith, as Paul the Apostle himself said, that we are companions of him, that we retain the same mind that was in Christ that was in him. So that is an earmark. In other words, I am not guessing. This is not something mythical. That is not mythical. The seeing eye of the camera took it. Now you can laugh and be scornful and have your own ideas, be my guest. I'll be standing right there when the carpet's pulled on you at the white throne. Now, I'm not gloating in anything. I'm just telling you facts. People don't want facts. They want fiction. This is not fiction. This is not mythical. It is not a myth. We are speaking of the person of God who came down to earth and is therefore present here on earth, whereas he was not formerly present, at least in this particular manner. He has revealed himself so that we know it is he who is present. That revelation came by manifestation. Notice the words reveal and manifest are the words akin to appear and belong in the same definition and category of scripture or doctrine. It is exactly as Brother Branham would say when he was waiting to start a prayer line. We are waiting for him to come. Then he would say, he is here. Then the manifestation of it was indeed God who did appear, according to Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp for the two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight at that time. When he's doing that, but all things are naked, open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Who was doing that, William Branham or God? And why wasn't everybody before William Branham doing it? Because he wasn't there in the sense of being here at their particular age in church history, but now he is here. Also, Brother Branham used Hebrews 13:8 as a criterion, and he went back to Genesis 18, where God appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, flanked by two messengers. God himself stood outside the tent with his back to the tent and read Sarah's heart, and he said, that's the last sign before the coming of the Son manifested in flesh. So today you've seen your last sign. Who did it? God did it. Now listen to what Brother Branham also said along with He is here. He said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. What was his ministry? His ministry was a message. Then what is his message? His message is here. Well, he says, is that all there to it? No! Who is here? What is he doing? Why is he doing it? What's it got to do with us? Where will it end? Come on! You know why I lowered the boom on you folk here? I expect you to know answers the way I'm giving them. Even every woman and child. Not to sit here and sleep and worry about your kids and this and that, but get with God's own heart. And understand the truth. My ministry is to declare. And I'm sure that Brother Branham used that word according to the Greek, which is exegesis, which means to absolutely clarify by word and even demonstration where necessary, the proving that he is here. He further said, when you see God descend from the heavens and stand before men and declare himself as ever he did. Now listen, for a man to make that statement, he goes back into church history. He cannot leave the Bible. When you see God descend from the heavens and stand before men and declare himself as ever he did, you've got to check what he means. When did God come and stand before men? He stood before men until the day of Moses. From that time on, he never stood before men except as he stood in a man, God in the prophets. How did God confront the people? He confronted them by a delegation, by his own special legate. We go to the book of Matthew. And the 23rd chapter, I believe it is. And he says in verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood, and so on, down there. But listen, skip that 35 and 36 and listen again. Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. The prophet is the one who brings the word because God is in the prophet bringing the word. The wise men are the fivefold ministry. They're called that because they've been given gifts whereby they can bring forth the word of God and properly discourse upon it, no different from how the prophet gave it. And number three, the scribe is simply a man that copies it down and just says it word for word and said, hey, I cannot tell you the meaning, I just tell the content. But he's faithful in that respect as witness. Now watch, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered you? How was God doing it? Through the prophets, then through the ministry. Now, but God was only in the prophets. For Brother Branham said, when you see God descend from the heaven and stand before men and declare himself, as ever he did, he tells you right here how it was done. He said, I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Therefore, you're left desolate. And upon you, now bring in verse 35 and 6, upon you shall come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and altar. A many great tribulation upon the earth to the Jews. Now, he also said, when God went down to Egypt with Moses, he not only manifested himself in signs and wonders, but he himself appeared in a pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai, so today. And we have his picture. So, he said, he is here. You cannot see him with your eyes, but I declare to you by vision. You're a liar, Brother Branham. Forget your eyes. I got to see this myself. He's not here. Let me tell you, these weak-brained, weak-kneed, spiritually destitute preachers who come against the truth, I have no time for them. But I've got time for you. You better listen. I may come across plenty harsh, but I'm not half as harsh will God be, because he doesn't miss one jot or one tittle. There's not one flicker of the eye or the heart that he doesn't deal with. I saw that in the prophet. I've told you many times about it. From 1956 to 1964, more particularly in the last 2 years, he preached a greater than Solomon is here 13 times. He said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing the word. And remember, when Brother Branham spoke of the word coming to Paul, he always spoke of Jesus or Jehovah having gone back to a pillar of fire, having left the flesh. And that Paul, listen, Paul, one man, only one man received the revelation from Jehovah personally. This begins to epitomize or be epitomized in the fact that Brother Branham was asked the question, what can you explain what Jesus meant when he said, he that seeth me seeth the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Brother Branham could say there, and I could stand as his witness in full corroboration, you were not looking at a man, you were looking at God. He explained it. It's the very thing that Jesus himself said. I'm not saying the words, I'm merely repeating the words. These words are not mine, these miracles, these acts are not mine. And Brother Branham said, he said, thus saith the Lord. Is that William Branham? The one that brings all these things so perfectly past, there's not one miss, never has been, never will be. Is that William Branham? By no means, no. There's only one could do that, that is God. Now people hate to understand that God per se is in the prophets. They understand that Jesus Christ was the complete fullness of Godhead bodily. But they forget that the prophets were God to the people, and God was in the prophets, according to the Apostle Paul, in the measure of the message of that hour. And when you consider the Apostle Paul went from A to Z, and William Branham came back at the end of the Z, then William Branham went all the way back to A, and having corrected the errors, brings forth a perfect word. And remember, that perfect word being in the womb or the mind of the bride, she cannot get further pregnant by another seed. She's wholly committed and wrapped up to God to bring him forth, because the church cannot bring him back in flesh. It's a tragic thing when the Roman Catholic Church, with their edict out of Rome, says he's here. We don't know in what form, but you know he's present, because we're seeing the things that only he can do. God help the Protestants, and God help the people of this message. And let me tell you once more, the greatest lie in this world is 99% truth. And the Pentecostal have nothing but chaff. They will burn. They're wretched, naked, and blind before God. The Baptists, where do they come in? Nowhere. Then who's got the truth? The Branham people got the truth. One word off, it's all gone. The greatest lie in the world is taking Brother Branham's message and messing with it. Amen. Who's going to hate us? The Pentecost? They don't even know we live. They're not even interested. We mean nothing. Where does it all come from? Those who say they believe the message, they call this message puke, filth and rot. There it is. Oh, they love it. They literally worship it. I know a certain lady said to my wife one day, she said, "You think it's wrong, Sister Vail, to pray to that?" She said, "Oh, no, Sister, I don't believe it's wrong in the sense you're doing it, because I think you're looking beyond it. And if you're looking beyond to what that truly represents, and you know him who is represented there in that picture, the God of William Branham, you're okay, because the thoughts of your heart are toward him and not toward a man." And I've elaborated a bit, my wife said, because she couldn't put it quite that way. You better get your lines right. And remember, the right lines were over Pentecostal doctrine. Brother Branham was fishing. And they all cheered him. I said, "Oh, Brother Branham, you can tell us. You can do this. You're great. You're this, you're that." And he got puffed up. And he cast out, and he jerked the line too quickly, and he got nothing but his lure covered with skin. Then in dumb amazement, the line was all curled up in a complete mess around him. And as he mumbled in his embarrassment and tears coursed down his cheeks, and this was a vision, the angel stood there and said, "Now look what you've done." He said, "You better not get your lines all mixed up in trouble time like this." He said, "You can't teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. Where do you stand this morning on your doctrine?" Now let us remember that these words used by Brother Branham in the Bible, beginning with "come," there is nothing better to illustrate the thought than we find in the book of Acts, the first chapter, and verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." It tells you the same one that left here to go there is coming from there to here. Identical. No problem. Same word, to go, to come. Depending on direction. And who's doing what? So the one that left here, went there, is going to come back in identical manner to here. Now that is an understatement. Because the true statement of there to here, now that he's gone from here to there, is Revelation chapter 19. Coming right down to earth. Now remember, he appears he comes three times. The first time he came mortal to shed his blood. The second time he comes to meet us in the air, in the body. When that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll meet him up in the air, having been taken up by God himself, Holy Spirit. And when God reincarnates himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that will be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it. That'd be the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God. That'd be the Rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely, Lily of the Valley, Creator of the heavens and the ends of the earth, the resurrection and the light. He'll be all the titles that you find in Jehovah Complex, every one. Every single one we could rattle off, 240 different names or so. He's that one. The third time he comes right back to earth in the immortal body with the bride to take over in the millennium. All right, the word is erkomahi, which means the act of coming. The word present is parousia, meaning presence or to be present. The word reveal is apocalypsis. Apocalypsis. Take a few of those. We go to the book of Matthew. And in 11 and 27, all things are delivered of me, unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. In other words, he could be right there, and you could be staring him in the face and not knowing who it is. When I was first attracted by Brother Branham, all I knew was this man is the one you listen to, if you listen to anybody. He's got to have an answer somewhere. A dear friend of ours, God rest her soul, or she's gone, she could be gone by now. She was one of my best supports when we had nothing. She sent us a lot of help. She said one day, going down the street in a little town back in Canada, like a voice said to her, William Branham is a man to be reckoned with. He ought to be heard. Look at his ministry. He's got something to say. And so she was going down the street that day, and she met my wife's brother. And they were acquainted also. So she began talking. And I come to find out, John said, well, Sister Husaby, her name was, I forget her name, that she married Husaby. A very common name she had before. She could play in the Edmonton Grabs, which is a world-famous basketball team for 11 solid years. They won all championships. But anyway, she's talking about Allison. Where's Allison? Oh, she's down in the States living down there with her husband, Lee, and they work with Brother Branham. She said, Brother Branham. Right away, then she contacted us. Now, she's the woman who positively knew there was something there like I knew something was there. But you see, she couldn't stand still for the resurrection. She had to have all the gifts and all the things. She went back to Pentecost. Because her brother Branham warned you, but the angel said, you cannot get your lines mixed up in troubled times like this, which means you can't teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. And who are babies? Well, they're those that are never grew up to be adults. They have a problem. All right, a revelation. Now, I said this. Nobody can get to know the Father unless the Son reveal him. Now remember, in Romans 1, it tells you, according to the resurrection, he's the Son of God. You've got the hour of the Son of God, which is the Holy Spirit manifesting in that particular office in the Spirit. So you're going to get a revelation. Now, with that, we're going to see the perfection of my remarks, because Brother Branham is the one who said that. You look over here in Galatians, and in Galatians, the first chapter, verse 16. To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, that's dependent upon the fact when Paul was struck down, and a voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jehovah. Now remember, Jesus is the Greek for Joshua, and Joshua is Jehovah's Savior. In other words, I'm the Messiah. I'm Jehovah's Savior. I'm the one who do all these things. I'm talking to you now. Now, with Galatians 1 and 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So therefore, what we're talking about here is the apocalypse, is the unveiling. It is there before you. It is there so many times, committed right to the eyes. But there is not the definitive understanding unless the thing is explained. That's exactly what the Bible says concerning Jesus. It says the only begotten of the Father who is in his bosom is the one who declared him, which means to absolutely show forth by manifestation and explanation to lead you to understand fully that this is that thing, which is Logos. So, all right. We have come, present, revealed. The next is manifest. The word manifest is from the word phanero, which means to render apparent. The basic word is phahino, which means to lighten, to shine, to appear. Now, that's what we found before from the dictionary. Manifest means to especially by light, to bring into view. In other words, you're in the dark, or it's in the dark. Now, there's got a light shine, and when the light shine, you see it. Now, remember, the word see is also a word that applies to the understanding. Remember, Jesus said, do you now see? Do you now believe? Brother Branham used it, do you now see? Because believe means to see. Is it true to you? Has it got true to you? Do you understand? Not Pentecostal baby doctrine. Now, the word manifest is found in places such as John 17 and 6. And he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now, how in the world did he manifest it? He did the things that nobody else could do. John said, oh, Nicodemus said, oh, we know, Jesus, you're a man sent from God. By the way, you're a teacher sent from God. In other words, you're here to tell us things. You're here to open our minds. You're here to give us the truth. You're here with the doctrine. You are actually a prophet. You're a teacher. And no man could do the things you do except God be with him. In other words, this fellow unconsciously was repeating 100% Deuteronomy chapter 18. A vindicated man, prophet, comes before the people, and the people say, this has got to be God. See? So therefore Jesus said here, I have manifested thy name. He said, I come in my Father's name. And he proved that he was the Son of God, that he did come in the Father's name, that he was here to reveal him on the grounds that he did reveal the presence of him who was there within him, that John saw coming down from there to here and indwelling the man. Right? And this man Nicodemus understood that only God could do those things, because the devil doesn't heal. You got the Church of Christ saying the devil heals. They're liars. Then Jesus said in John 15, he said, if I had not done the works, no other man did, they not sin, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. What's the Father got to do with it? He did the works. He said the said. He said what was said, the same. So they hated him, in spite of the manifestation, which was conclusive and liberal, to the extent John said all the libraries in the world could not hold those things which were done by Jesus. There weren't many libraries, but so what? If he ever was around Brother Branham like I was, he could start at 1 o'clock in the morning or start at midnight and go days and tell that the things that God had done in his ministry, and he still wouldn't catch up. Hour after hour after hour. Why, he said, these meetings are nothing. Would you see, it's out there what's going on. And I'm witness to it. The meeting never saw him tell a man his dream. I saw him hold it, tell the dream. Time after time. And everybody thinks Daniel was so big. Oh, Daniel. Ha, ho, 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 ho. He told a king his dream he had forgotten. What about Brother Branham telling many people the dreams they'd forgotten or correcting where they're off base? Say, oh, you're right, Brother Branham. I forgot that part. What about that? A greater than Solomon. Not William Branham. But God manifesting himself in a greater and therefore a more conclusive way to an end that is in itself greater. Why? Because it's a wind down. It's over. It's a real phanerole. The real manifestation. Okay, let's go now to John, 1 John. These are all good scripture. When I get through here, I'm going to quit. I can't take the next section, it's too long. All right, 1 John 1 and 2. That's what I'm looking at. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested. Now listen, he said the Zoe was manifested. Now God is the living God, and he's manifesting Zoe. In other words, he's in a form that he took from his own creation. Remember, Mary had nothing to do with the body of Jesus Christ save giving him the chemicals through her chemical factory. So now God is giving birth to his carrier, his conduit, his tabernacle. Scriptural, 100% scriptural, the word tabernacle, tent. His platform, call it what you want. That life was manifested. The living God manifested through normal natural means. That it was he bearing witness by what he did to himself, guaranteeing you have eternal Zoe. Which means you go back to where Adam was, without sin, perfect, to the tree of life and live forever. Sensate. In a fabulous, marvelous condition beyond our understanding. And notice he said, this life was with the Father and was manifested. The very thing that was in God to begin with, right down here in his finalized form. Speaking now in terms of God and humanity and redemption. In this hour as we know it, this age as we know it. What he's got in the future, don't ask me. That's God's business. The fifth verse, this is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's very true. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We're looking at the fact of the very thing we're talking about here. There is no darkness. It's all light. And what does the word phanero come from? It comes from the word to bring to light, to shed light upon. To appeal to the senses, especially by sight. Absolutely. And again, we see in... look over here, I think John, the first chapter. That's the book of John. And the 31st verse. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now John says, I can come face to face with this person that's come here. And don't think for one moment I don't know that he's come, because I know he's standing amongst you. I just can't recognize him. But I am to recognize him in the waters of baptism. So therefore Jesus did that exactly, which differentiated him from any other man, the same as that man William Branham. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Murder, blasphemy. Ah, shut up. You're too chicken for me. You're too gutless. Look, either go in with the lions or don't go in with the lions. It's live, die, sink, or swim. If you can't believe that, then you don't believe anything else. Now, there's some things you don't know what to believe about, but you just accept them. And that's great. That's about his tent vision. I don't even think about it. I accept it. But he's got it now, having it, this and that, and applies to you and me. No doubt it does. It being a future thing. I don't know what it's all about. He knows. He and God knows. Now, the big thing, you leave it with God. Don't deny anything the prophet said, because everything's vindicated. There's not one point he missed in. And remember, God's own word says, when a man comes, thus saith the Lord, just one thing, everything else is going to follow in line. Well, Moses did many, many things, of course, and so did Paul. All right, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What is he saying? We have the truth, we have the light, and the light shines upon it to prove this is the living word of the living God, because God backs up everything we say. Paul said we've been vindicated. You understand what I'm talking about. Now let's begin to taper off. I hope we can begin and finish quickly. Let's look at Brother Branham in the light, and I've already been talking about it, John 14, but I'm going to read the whole thing, 7 to 12. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now remember, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives the Father that sent me. And that day will know that I am the Father, and you and me, and I and you. Now let's just lump the whole thing up and lump it where it belongs. Hit the thing right on the head with a sledgehammer. Let's not cut the dog's tail off inch at a time, just cut his tail off. In other words, get with it. Not to think I'm going to accept a part of this according to my mind and my reasoning. I am going to just be very careful and very, very slow here and very, very, very cautious. I want to tell you something. Jesus was not cautious. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Nevertheless, thy will, not my will, be done. Christians are not cautious when it comes to the view word of God, because their destiny hangs upon it. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know and have seen him. Now, I said with that, you apply the words. He that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives the Father. And therefore you have the complete revelation as is necessary, and there's no missing it. You can't miss it. So if I don't receive Brother Branham as Jesus Christ, I'm out of luck. I got a problem. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And Jesus said, have I long so known you, have you known me, Philip? Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? So Brother Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Then what do you want to bother looking for Jesus for? Oh, well, he's got to have wounds in his hand. If he does, if William Branham had a wound in his hand, in his side, and scars on his brow, no, I wouldn't do it. But the Bible said a man like that, you take out a stone and burn him. Your protection. He that receiveth whomsoever I send takes you right back to God, who is doing the works. All right. Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? And the words that I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. That's the same with the prophet. Paul had it, Moses had it. Only three people. Paul, Moses, William Branham. Moses was the first great type of Christ. Then Paul became the complete word deliverer. And William Branham became the restorer. Each had a message. It was called Paul's gospel, William Branham's message. Your message. Now he said, believe that I am in the Father in me. Well, isn't that the truth? You tell me if it differs any from what the original. There's no way. See? Believe that I am the Father of my Lord. Believe me for the very work's sake. Now I said, if you cannot believe the statement, I am in the Father in me. If you cannot believe William Branham's statement, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. That's what he said. Then you check the works out. Now then you give me something to go by. That you've got something. Oh, well, Brother Dale, the Greek. Oh, this student. Listen, you can take your Greek and do what you want with it. And you can take your students and die with them. Because they're all Trinitarian idolaters. They change the very essentiality, the understanding thereof, by their foolish creeds and dogmas, which originated in the Roman Catholic Church that perpetrated the doctrine of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Ain't no such animal. There's one God who is Spirit. And he had a son. Don't forget that son. That doesn't make him God the Son. It's the Son of God. Otherwise, you'd say concerning our boy, Don the lead. Well, Don ain't the lead. Lee is the lead, and Don is the Don. And he's my son. Oh, that's too deep. Too deep. That was sarcastic. It was meant to be. If you think otherwise, you're off the hook. Just let it go over your head to the next guy. Now watch verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's in magnitude, in the sense of the wideness of scope. Can you believe Brother Branham justifiably said he had more success in my ministry than he had in his own? When did Jesus go plumb around the world? When did he have a crowd of 500,000? When did he have 30,000 converts at one time? You can pity Jesus. How many did he have? He ended up with not even the 12. How many did he convince? And of course, the woman typing the bride manifested a greater faith than the men. They have that in their favor, don't they? Here we see the truth. Can we really believe that Brother Branham had the authority and the right to say, "You're looking at me, aren't you?" Same thing. So we're looking at Brother Branham in the light of John 14, 7 to 12, which is the epitomization of Deuteronomy 18, the prophet coming in the name of the Lord, thoroughly vindicated to the people, a vindicated word that they know to be the truth, to which you cannot add or take away. Now remember, back in the days of Paul, you could add or take. Not today you can't. You got to get right back to your original. Because though the woman was already pregnant, the word was already harmed in her mind at the time she was a virgin. The two vines began growing up side by side with a little tiny vine called the bride and a great big tree called the church. It was full of all manner of corruption and hideous things. But now at the end time, it's come out of her, "My people," and you're back to the bare minority. And never forget, in spite of everybody's teaching, "Oh, God loves the world. Oh, God loves sinners. Oh, they're coming in by the millions. Now the communists are out of power." You better not believe for 1 minute the communists are really out of power. The hierarchy is still in authority. And I just read an article the other day where it's absolutely claimed there are two cities in Russia right now that are not on the map that contain bombs and everything necessary to wipe us plumb off the universe. Who's got the army? Don't ever think for 1 minute. When Brother Branham said, "Watch Russia, she'll go down for the oil," she will. It'll be Russia. But we're looking something way beyond that. We're looking at the tie. And you know, right now the Roman Catholic Church is very angry because they say the Greek Orthodox took away billions, I guess, and millions of dollars in property in Russia, took over their churches. We want them back. Now the fight's going to be with Orthodoxy and Romanism. Who's going to win? I'm sure not betting on the Metropolitan. His goose is cooked. Rome has a better record of ovens burning people than does the Greek church. And furthermore, those 200,000 evil spirits that were bound at the river Euphrates until the time of Hitler. Where did those spirits come from? Rome. Because Rome never died, it just seemed to die. The deadly wound was healed through the Roman Empire becoming the Holy Roman Empire, so-called. And the Catholics will tell you, "We've waited centuries for this." It's true. Amen. It's true. I knew that when I read Philip's book on the Black Pope. They waited for centuries, and they'll wait centuries more if they have to. All right. Let's look at the words appearing and coming. The appearing and the coming. Now, the appearing is not what the fundamentalists say it is. The appearing is not the rapture. And this is for that man especially that wrote that very ridiculous book, not even knowing what he was saying, running off at the mouth, which is a dangerous thing. Because if you run off at the mouth, then put it in print, something's going to happen one way or the other. Because when the truth comes, you'll never embrace it because you haven't got the guts to stand as I was wrong. How many times have I told you I was wrong believing that the bride stayed through the tribulation? How many times I've confessed where I was off beat? It's not all that hard. It's harder to stay in ignorance and listen. This is not the coming. I mean, the appearing. Now, this is the appearing we're looking at here in the sense of what is previous to the literal catching away. For this is only by the word of the Lord that we will travel alive and mean of the coming of the Lord. Now notice the word coming shall not prevent, and that's to Brother Branham said, to hinder, which is also true, but also in the Greek it means to take precedence over, which I like the actual connotation of both, because prevent meaning to hinder, preeminence, in taking preeminence would also hinder. See, you can't do it. You've got to come to the place where the preeminent one is Christ. Because Brother Branham said that was the one thing, one of the things he came to do, restore and to give himself preeminence. And right here it's warning you, in the face of this coming. See, when he's coming for his own, it involves the living and those that are asleep. And there's no special favor given to the people living that is not given to those that are dead. They end up the same way, glorified, immortal, to go to the wedding supper. Now it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the cloud. There we'll meet the Lord near. Now let's watch it. You've got two mentions of Lord. And my understanding of that is very simple. It comes from the scripture. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand. What was he talking about? He's talking about God speaking to the Son. Remember, Jesus Christ is head of the church, which is a bodily affair. Not just spiritual, it's a bodily affair. As the spiritual headship is the Holy Ghost, the actual physical headship of the bride is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the husband. So, all right, it tells you right here that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice, the archangel, trumpet, God, and at that time there'll be the resurrection. Then us who remain and alive will be changed and caught up together to meet that Lord in the air. The Brother Branham says, when that spirit that's amongst us, which is Emmanuel, which is Elohim, which is God himself, becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, all right, you've got two things mentioned here. You've got the literal descent or the coming of God himself in the form of a spirit and a pillar of fire, appearing amongst the people. That is the actual appearing. And we'll talk about it. Now, this is the second time Jesus comes physical. We meet him in the air. We do not go back to the throne. It is someplace in the air. It is someplace different. And at that particular time, we know that the Old Testament saints he'll bring with him without a doubt. He'll bring with him. The dead will bring forth. We're going to meet him in the air. Now listen, in this particular area, Brother Branham said Jesus or Jehovah, the one that went back to the pillar of fire, that's the one he's talking about, descended with the shout, which was a message, with the trump, which was a raising of the dead, the shout, which is the message, the voice, which is the the raising from the dead, and the trump, which is the gathering and the assembling together to take to the wedding supper. So, all right, the world church believes that the rapture is the appearing. They believe it in the very face of the book of John, where he says in the third chapter of 1 John, Revelation, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it never yet appeared what we shall be. This is going to be a first time in history. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, Paul says the very same thing in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd and 4th chapter. Now, that is before the rapture. Because you've got to be changed to go in the rapture. The Bible said so. Behold, I show you a mystery. Will not all sleep, will all be changed. Then we'll be caught up. So, therefore, he must appear. See? He must appear before this Exodus in order that we are in the Exodus. That's what Brother Branham said. Just think, the same pillar of fire had his picture taken. God did not only manifest himself or appear in Egypt in signs and wonders, but he himself upon Mount Sinai, so today we got his picture. You got the actual truth of the perfect presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice where that comes from. That comes from the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. And this is the ministry that he comes down with. This is that message.
And Brother Branham said there can be no such thing as a true ministry of healing, a true healing revival, rather, unless there is a fresh message, because God does not vindicate the same old tired message. Now, Matthew 12. And you've got to read it the way it's written, because, hey, don't try to mess with Scripture. Okay, 48:15 verse. And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled as spoken by Isaiah the prophet, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen." Now notice, these people don't know him, so they don't know what's going on, even though something is going on. Watch it. "My beloved, whom my soul is well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." When did Jesus ever go to the Gentiles and show judgment? He never did. I don't care if the Mormons say it was their fluky, stupid doctrine. They're even arguing now about what Joseph Smith actually said. They don't even know what went on. There's no vindication Joe ever had a word of truth. Joe Smith, what he claimed, was a horse thief. I don't know if he's a horse thief or not, but he was certainly an adulterer, ran away with another man's wife. Scurvy scum. We've got amongst us, too. And there'll soon be a bunch of homosexuals amongst us. Listen, you people, watch it. You think I'm not telling the truth? I've read it to you dozens of times. The first chapter of the book of Romans. When they turned on God and his complete revelation and knowledge, there's one place they went to: bestiality and homosexuality. And this generation shall not pass away. This homosexual bunch are going to be here to the end, and they'll be burned. You wonder why I scream at the Pope and tell you to teach your kids? Well, I didn't go through this, my dear brothers and sisters, my young husband and wife and families. We didn't go through this. We didn't need to. You're different. Even got to watch your diet. Animals are perverted. They're losing their own sexual identification. Males acting like females and vice versa. Listen, I'm telling you, we're at the end time. Wake up. A lot of you kids sit here, it's over your heads, you don't give a rip. Every now and then, my heart gets torn out of here. One couple with a fine young girl, you know, she can't wait to get married, can't save her virginity. No, she's got to run off like a female in heat. Now, I talked up. I'm not sorry about it. What's going on? Wake up, smell the coffee, as Anna Landers would say. But don't listen to her, she's a... What is she, what they call a yentl or something? I don't know. Oh, God help us. The Jews are everywhere. Yeah. The Herodian doctrine still with them. Serpent seeds never change. How can change it? No. Listen. "My beloved servant whom I have chosen," they won't recognize it, "put my spirit upon him, show judgment to Gentiles. He'll not strive nor cry." Jesus did that. "Neither man shall hear his voice in the street." They heard in the street. "The bruised reed shall he not break." He broke. "A smoking flash not quench." He did it. "Till he sent forth judgment unto victory." In other words, he tells you he's going to come at a time of judgment, and the Gentiles who trust in his name will be thrust into victory. Come on, it's an end time preachment. Vindication by manifestation. Absolutely. With that, take Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. How many minutes? Oh, good, got time to finish. Verse 20, "He was the man of the Pharisees. When the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said," the kingdom of God comes with an observation. In other words, you'll be there and you won't see it. It'll be there, it'll come. You'll be looking at it, but you won't see it. Oh, was that to come? You missed it. Go back to your Gospels and listen how Jesus excoriated those Pharisees and those Sadducees. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry for you that you don't recognize me. Oh, you serpent seed. You're not of Abraham. If you were, you'd recognize me." That's exactly, Brother Branham said, the kind old priest showed 1,000 times more love, so-called, than Jesus. The renegade. Where is your love? Where is your love? A man's going to his death, going to fall off a cliff, and you can't scream out, "Watch your step! One more step and you're gone." Oh, no, because I'm going to be very sweet. I might scare him out. That's just... You're a murderer. Law would count you murderer. Accessory after the fact. They'll say, lo here, lo there, don't believe it. In other words, this is man's imagination. This is what man says. Don't believe it. There's going to come a time when the kingdom comes, when Christ himself will be here, and nobody will know it unless somehow he tells them or vindicates it. If he had not appeared in that whirling cloud, the rainbow came down over Brother Branham's head in 1933 when he first approached his church to become more and more into it till he took headship. Nobody would have known, not even the prophet. And the prophet would not have known, except God spoke to him himself like God speaks through a prophet. Said, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message will forerun the second coming. That is true. William Branham is gone. But he stood long to say, behold, the Lamb of God. Saw him come down. Oh, that's all right by me. People believe anything they want. Live, die, sink, or swim. And he said, the days will come and you should desire to see one of the days the Son of Man shall not see it. And they shall say, see here, see there. Don't go and follow them. Now he said, they're going to talk again. This is it. This is it. Follow here. Here's where the real life is. Here's where the real signs are. Here's the miracles. Here's everything. Don't go to that random junk. For as lightning shines out of the shineth from one part of him to the other parts. Heaven. So shall the Son of Man be in his day. Phanerol. The light will come. See. Understand. Now watch. He must suffer many things first and be rejected. So this can't happen until after his resurrection. Now watch. As it was in the days of Noah, it'll be in the days of the Son of Man. That puts it right at the end time. The days of the Son of Man repeat. And when they do, the Son of Perdition repeats. Once more we see a Judas. I know one of them. And I'm going to tell you, in my I'm before the white throne. This is my own opinion. I feel cautious about saying it, but I'll subdue my voice. That may help. Put it this way, I just cannot believe that Judas did any more tricks with the bag than this guy that I know. If he did half as many. You say, Brother Bill, why would you believe that one guy at the end time could do twice as many as the first guy? I'll tell you why, because they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. And the first one had its merits because somebody had to do it. You show me where it has merits, and the second man has to do it. Unto himself. We live in a terrible, horrible condition. Talk to many people. They cannot understand how men can do what they're doing today. At the end time, now watch. It says the days of Lot will come back. And it'll rain fire and brimstone. Even thus it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It tells you plump and plain flat. That the Son of Man will be revealed. Doesn't say the Son of God. It says the Son of Man. Whom say they that I the Son of Man am. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What was he doing? Demonstrating 100% who he was. And Brother Branham said it was absolutely Son of Man. Son of God. Son of Man. Now he's back to Son of God, of course, because the days of the Son of Man are over. The days of the Son of Perdition are fast upon us. And again, we use the scripture as we used in John 14 and 12, having read it to you. Jesus speaking of himself, who is doing the works and the mighty works that were to follow. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Hey. Now, not only does he go to his Father, but there's absolutely the truth that he's coming again. And his coming in the Scripture is told that the days of those Son of Man repeat, which they've repeated in this hour, where we see the great ministry of God himself in a ministry he employs through Brother Branham, to whom he gave a message. Which message is vindicated by the manifestation, which proves As it was God in flesh back there, it's God in flesh again. As Brother Branham said, the end time, God has promised once more to reveal himself in human flesh. Now remember, that doesn't go just to Brother Branham. When asked the question, what do you mean? The Son of Man revealed in human flesh. And I can't even find where he ever said it. I asked him myself, what do you mean by it? He must have been talking to me privately. And he said, that is the bride in every age. Let's just close in looking at the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter. And it tells you here concerning the visitation of that mighty God that came down, which Revelation 10 and 1 is Revelation 5 and 1, the mighty God, because he's the one with the rainbow. He's the judge. He's come down. And remember, at that particular time, the book is sealed. But notice in verse 7, the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound the mysteries of God, as God has declared the good news of the gospel by his servants, the prophets, shall be finished. That's a literal translation. Now go over to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the 10th verse, and he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What time? What he saw in the first chapter. And then continuing all the way through. What does he say? At the end time, the book is unsealed and no man dare seal it. Now, those people that believe the book was not open, there's something wrong somewhere. Because Brother Branham said we had everything open to us now under the seventh seal that would put us in the rapture. That obviates even Brother Branham coming back and saying or doing anything because we already got it. Which I'm not saying he won't do things and say things. Hey, look, I'm looking for it. I don't know what to look for, but I'll be looking for whatever he brings us that's perfectly good by me. Because if I look as perfectly good by me what he's brought already, why shouldn't I look forward to that? That's going to be better than ever. See, so we just leave it with that. Now he says here at that time, he that is for the times and end, he that's unjust, let him be unjust still, filthy, filthy still, righteous still, holy, holy still. Then he said, behold, I come quickly. One is his presence. God's with us. The next is we're caught up to his presence. And all this is a part of the literal second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes. And Brother Branham mentioned that very thing. Also, I'm here to dress a bride. They have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. For without are sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, that takes in the whole group. And in that last bunch, sorry to say, strange to say, we hate to say it, there lies the foolish virgin also. There is a very tiny elect group that are going to make the rapture. I believe that's why at times the Lord seems to caution me to be very careful what I say and how I say it, because it's very condemnatory. The point is, I am not here to judge anybody. Let God do that judging, but I want you to know something. The bride is already judged, and she has passed from mortality to immortality on the grounds that God has sworn by himself and fulfilled his own word. The sons of Abraham that are here upon earth that have not made the first part of the first resurrection are soon to appear, and we're going to appear with him because he has already appeared. The shout has taken place. We are now, as Brother Branham said, knowing his ministry was over, literally over, we are resurrection. The next is the calling together of those who are transfigured with those who are resurrected to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's thus saith the Lord, as you understand what Brother Branham taught. Let's rise and be dismissed. Our most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the opportunity we have of coming together, knowing, Lord, that in broaching such a subject as this, the thoughts could keep flooding and flooding and flooding and flooding, Lord, knowing that this is the theme of our preaching and has been since 1977. 15 solid years has gone by now. Preached at that time, Lord, even at the rate of 30 sermons a year would be 450, 450 by 1.5 minimum. Would be a long, long time of preaching. Would cover many, many days of preaching, sitting on in one place. Not one time
but many times, talking about the vindicated prophet, vindicated by the God who is present. The things that are here extant in our very midst at this particular point. And those things the prophet said are very true. We are resurrection. We are before the white throne. All of these things have a ring of certainty. Not only that, but too bad for the... Yet we cannot say too bad. And yet it has a ring of finality. And you yourself said in that hour, in your own word, when all these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice, your redemption draweth nigh. Father, we've already seen those things which show our redemption draweth nigh, for redemption is already here. It's now a matter of the last little leg of it, which we find, Lord, the witness, the sealing, the token of immortality is giving way now to the immortality itself. We shall be like him, wondrously like him, and in his glory shall shine. That's your word, Lord. It's a bride somewhere, by your grace, Father, and with all humility, and yet in the right direction, with the right understanding, we would claim to be a part of that bride. But as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. By the grace of God, we too want to stay with him, though we don't know how true our words will ring or what we can do. We don't want to stand in our way. Help us, Lord, then. To so walk, to so live, to so speak in every way, conduct ourselves, there might not be any hindrance, even as we saw that man not only try to do it, but accomplished it. Knowing that he was not perfect as you are, Lord, we know nobody ever lived that word to perfection outside of you. But we know there are those who believe it to perfection, right down the line can believe it. And there are some who are sanctified by it and walk in that light as you're in the light and have fellowship one with another, your blood cleansing a church, even as Brother Branham saw the scarlet circle. Be with your people this morning, Lord. Heal the sick amongst us. We ask in Jesus' name to give them mighty dynamic strength from above, O God, so they'll know it is from you, Lord. Flood our hearts and our minds with truth, Lord, so we know it is from you. And walk in the rejoicing as it in Christ Jesus, not only filled, but being filled and filled fuller as we pile word upon word and the life thereof is in it. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory, through Jesus Christ's beautiful, wonderful name, in whom the Gentiles trust. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.